Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Yo, yo! It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Big news, as we told you about a half hour ago, Kevin Durant, he strikes again. No, he's not requesting a trade, but Frank Vogel, fired, donezo, out, finished, finito, with the Phoenix Suns. One season coaching the team, and he gets fired. Paul Hembo over at ESPN Hembo does a good job. He put out a tweet. Kenny Atkinson, Steve Nash, Jock Vaughn, Monty Williams, Frank Vogel, some new guy. Six coaches, six seasons, one common denominator. And that common denominator would be KD. I'm telling you, the legacy of Kevin Durant, it's fascinating. Because a lot of us would like to have the career in the NBA that would resemble Kevin Durant. He's an all-time great. But there are different sectors in the fraternity of being an all-time great player. And for Durant, he's not a tier one all-time great player. But he is a two-time NBA champion, a two-time finals MVP, a most valuable player award winner in 2014. He's been an all-star 14 times. You know what Durant has done. Durant has been one of the better players in the NBA for over a decade. But the insecurity of making a move that made you a villain and then no longer wanting to embrace that villain and then letting what people said get to you then made him go on to a place where you have to win a championship without the Golden State Warriors. And I know there were injuries when he left Golden State. He goes to Brooklyn. They won one playoff series. One. Guys that he wanted to be teammates with, guys that he brought in, Kyrie Irving and James Harden, they wanted to kill one another. And then he bailed and he goes to Phoenix, right? They make these trades. Oh, we got to go get, to compliment myself and Devin Booker, we got to go get Bradley Beal. And then you have no bench. And this team, once again, underachieved. Like the Suns, I know it hasn't all been with KD, but the last 4 years, they've had some really ugly losses. Like they were up 2-0 in the finals. I know KD wasn't there. They lost four straight to the Bucks. Then the year after that, they get embarrassed up against the Dallas Mavericks in an elimination game. And then last year, right up against Denver, they allowed like 80-something points or whatever it was in the first half. And then you turn into this year where it was like, okay, just get healthy, just get healthy, just get healthy. And then they got healthy going into the postseason, and you get swept out of the first round by the Minnesota Timberwolves. So 2 years in now, year and a half in, let's just say, in Phoenix, because I know not all those were directly related to when Durant was there, this Durant situation has been an unmitigated disaster in Phoenix. And I'm at the point, Durant's not going to win a championship again. Because, like, I'll ask you guys this. Do you think Durant is going to play for another team? Is Kevin Durant going to eventually bail? We've seen him play in OKC, right? Seattle, OKC. Then we've seen him play in Golden State, then the Nets, and now the Suns. He's 35. Kevin Durant turns 36 in September. I don't know how much longer Kevin Durant's going to play. I can't see him playing, like, I'm going to say 3 or 4 more years, probably max. But is Kevin Durant's final destination the Phoenix Suns? Samter, what do you say?
No chance.
Stu, do you think this is his final destination?
I agree with Mike. I think he goes somewhere else at some point.
Yeah. I'm with you guys because this is what this guy does. Even when it's going well, the guy bails. And I don't think wherever he goes, it's going to be a place, especially when you get later and later in your career, where and how much money you're going to be required to get paid, that what we're seeing right now is going to be anything different. And quite frankly, it would be really lame if he does leave Phoenix. Like, I'm with you guys. I don't think he's going to stay the rest of his career in Phoenix. But it's really lame because you left Golden State. Okay. And like, let me just try to at least understand the Golden State thing. You got annoyed that everyone said your championships were basically fugazi because you were with the Thunder. They blew that lead to the Warriors. If you can't beat them, join them. They already had a super team. They already had a great team that won a championship. Okay. So they had an all-time great regular season. You know, the Cavs come back 3-1. Then Draymond's basically begging KD to go there. I give credit to LeBron. When LeBron, who was so well-liked in Cleveland, then became a villain going to Miami, he embraced it. And ultimately, I don't think he would have left Miami if it wasn't for his relationship with Pat Riley deteriorating. But more importantly, it was Dwayne Wade slowed down a lot quicker than people thought. And unfortunately, you know, the health situation with Chris Bosh. So what he went to didn't, it was successful, right? 2 championships, 4 years. But we all thought when LeBron did go to South Beach and he took his talent to South Beach, it would have lasted a lot longer than that. But health plays a role into it. So LeBron didn't think he'd win a championship again in Miami, which he's right about. And he went back to Cleveland. And that's the most important championship of his career, the Cleveland Cavaliers championship. You look at the other 3 championships for LeBron, I think the Lakers one is extremely important because no one thought it was going to happen. And I would say probably from a historical standpoint, since KD beat LeBron a few times in the finals, I would say him beating KD with OKC is probably the 3rd most important championship. Maybe you could argue 2, but probably 3. And then the Spurs one is the 4th, even though we know the Spurs are our dynasty. But getting back to LeBron, LeBron embraced being the villain. And LeBron didn't leave because he didn't like being the villain anymore. Kevin Durant left Golden State because he was viewed as the villain and it drove him crazy on social media that people were just saying, your championships aren't really authentic. But if KD would have won 4 or 5 championships, right? With Golden State. And he continued to win the finals MVPs, which he did in his 2 championships. I understand there would still be a good fraction of the people and a good portion of the people that would never let the decision go. But eventually, even though Steph Curry is now viewed as the best, is a better player than Kevin Durant, people would have said, well, if KD kept on getting those finals MVPs, eventually it becomes your team. Like LeBron, when he did go to Miami, that was Dwayne Wade's team. But we all knew LeBron was the best player. When KD elected to go to Golden State, we all knew Steph, it was his team, but KD was viewed as the better player. But historically, since Steph won before KD, during KD, and after KD, Steph's going to be viewed as a better player all time. For Durant, if he would have just kept on winning with Steph in Golden State, and he was the guy that kept on winning those finals MVPs, because remember, that was a thing with Steph. Like, Steph never won a finals MVP until the last championship after KD. But if he would have just kept on doing that, Durant, and initially stuck with what he decided, like, eventually I would have even, and I didn't have an issue with it to start, so maybe I'm different, but I would have waved the white flag and be like, guys, he won 4 or 5 championships. Like, clearly, he was the most essential piece to that if he would have stayed and kept on winning. But he didn't do that. And Barkley said what Barkley said. He's more the bus rider than the bus driver. And that's going to stick with him. And it's rare, right, when you tell me someone's probably a top 15 player of all time, it's rare that the first thought out of your mouth isn't a positive kind of compliment, right? But with Durant, maybe I'm off base here, but I don't think so. I feel like with Kevin Durant, if he doesn't win another championship, which I don't believe he will, people are going to look at Kevin Durant and be like, yeah, he got the 2 championships. Yeah, he got 2 finals MVPs. But when he tried to go do it on his own, it was a mess in Brooklyn. It was a mess in Phoenix when they're now on another coach. And it's really going to make the Durant legacy a difficult legacy. And you know what his legacy is? He's a yeah, but. And what I mean by that is everyone's going to say, Durant is an all-time great player. Durant's a top 15 player of all time. Yeah, but he left Golden State and he couldn't win being the driver of the bus. You know what kind of reminds me of a little bit? Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, you are a top 10 quarterback of all time. Yeah, but it is disappointing. He got a Super Bowl, 1 Super Bowl early in his career, and never got back to another Super Bowl. So the Durant legacy to me is the yeah, but legacy. Samter, Stu, let me ask you guys this. Durant doesn't win another title. What are you going to think about when it comes to defining the legacy of Kevin Durant? I'll start with Stu.
Top 20 player of all time that probably could have been top 10, closer to top 5, if, like you said, it wasn't for the yeah buts. I think he is going to have a flawed legacy, and It's a shame because he's honestly probably one of the best players, if you just look at him as a player, that we've watched in our lifetime. The people that are like around our age,
which
like 20,
is similar
30, 30s.
To Rodgers, right? Yeah, like talent perspective, Rodgers is insane.
Very close.
And it's like funny, like Marino was insane, never won a championship. We all look at Dan Marino's a top 5 quarterback, or, you know, top 7 quarterback of all time, however you want to kind of go through that. But when you win early in your career and then you don't win again, and you are that talented like Rodgers and Durant, it's like, okay, why didn't you win more? And I don't think that's unfair. Like, no one's saying Durant sucks. No one's saying, oh, Durant isn't, like you said, top 20. Fine. Like, I said top 15, but I'm you could make a case. But no one's going to say, oh, he's not a top 20 player of all time. I don't think people are going to say that. But it's just one of those things where it's like, huh. Unfortunately, that decision, which he got killed for, and since he kind of bowed down to the crowd and genuflected to the crowd that was killing him for making that decision, they end up costing him because he should have just, like, old. He should have just stayed there. And maybe I'm wrong here, and maybe you guys think differently, and tell me if you do. If he would have stayed in Golden State and won four championships, let's just say 4 championships, and he would have won 4 finals MVPs, don't you eventually just have to let go how annoyed you were that he left OKC to go to the Golden State Warriors? You win 4 NBA championships and 4 finals MVPs, I don't care how you won them. If you can't tip your cap to that guy, you're just an unfair and unreasonable human being. So, Santa, how will you remember the legacy of Durant if, let's just say, he doesn't win another championship?
Charles Barkley is my spirit animal. It's just bus rider.
Yeah.
That's really all it is. Like, that's going to be a label that sticks with Kevin Durant for the rest of his life because that's exactly what he is. When he was the guy, he won nothing. When he joined a super team, he was elite and great and won titles and MVPs.
And hit big game-winning shots.
And hit
in LeBron's face.
And honestly, he kind of did a lot of that, you know, even with the Nets. If his foot was a half an inch smaller, he beats the Bucks that year.
And
but
you know what?
The day,
that
he's a bus rider.
That actually probably is the moment in his career since leaving OKC that got him the most praise. A series that he lost. How well he played with Harden in and out of the lineup on one leg and Kyrie missing, you know, getting hurt early in the series and missing the series. It's kind of wild. Because usually we don't reward losing. Durant got rewarded for losing. And you know what the irony is, too? You said Barkley, Samter, just like how I kind of said it. Barkley don't have a championship. And it's just so funny to me that Barkley, who doesn't have a championship and is considered still an all-time great player. You could be an all-time great player without a championship. But it's funny that since Barkley doesn't have a championship and how powerful his voice is inside the NBA, and him saying that, just the source to me is always like it's a great irony in it that this guy, that someone else couldn't win a championship on their own. And then Barkley makes that analogy and makes that comment. And that's what's going to stick with Kevin Durant.
Outside of those 4 years in Houston, Barkley was never a bus rider, right? Even though he didn't win a title, when he was in Philly, when he was in Phoenix, he was the driver. Right, he may not have won, but he was never a bus rider. Towards the end of his career, when he tried to ring chase, maybe a little bit. That's different.
Okay.
Right? Ring chasing when you're 35, at the end of your career, about to retire, different story. He was never a bus rider. That's the difference. Right? There's a difference between not winning a title and not being the leader of a team and not being the guy on a team. And Kevin Durant, for too long, has not been the guy on a team.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And when he is the guy, Brooklyn and the Suns didn't get the job done. Here's a bigger takeaway too. And this also goes back to Rodgers. There's a lot of times in sports where I'm not saying you shouldn't give players power. I'm not saying players shouldn't be involved in some decision-making. But when you hand over an organization to a player and basically make them the de facto GM, which what Durant was in Phoenix and what Durant was in Brooklyn and still is in Phoenix, and what Rodgers was trying to be in Green Bay at the end and what he's been in New York so far, I'm okay with allowing my star players to voice their input. But when they're making almost every decision, just because you're a star player doesn't mean you're a good general manager. And the decisions that Durant and Rodgers have made have not really worked out well for them. Like, remember when Rodgers did that press conference at Green Bay where he was so disappointed about all the players that were let go by the Packers? Like, who were those players that ended up continuing to be great once the Packers got rid of them? So I'm not saying don't get input from your stars, but you don't live and die by every word that they say. And that's something for Rodgers and Durant where they got that power. And unfortunately for them, it's just one of those moments where it's not unfortunate for them. And I know we got to get to Chris Child, so I'll take a break. But it's not unfortunate for them. But it's just one of those scenarios where since they were so adamant on getting all this control and making it their way, that you can't just bow out and tiptoe out of accountability when it doesn't go right. And for both those guys, it feels like they usually avoid taking the own personal accountability. It is the Zach Gelb Show. Chris Childs, join us next. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's hear from Brad Holmes one more time. This is on Costa and Jansen on the Ticket in Detroit when getting asked about an extension for Jared Goff.
First and foremost, you know, He's earned an extension, and it's important. It's a high priority for us, and both sides are working really, really hard. These things just kind of take a while, especially with the quarterback market. But I do have faith that it's going to get done.
So Goff, Tua, and Dak, all three of these guys right now, I guess they're getting games played with them with their GMs, where it's one of these scenarios where Jerry Jones playing the most games where he's telling you he loves Dak Prescott, but the feeling is that they're not going to get a deal done this offseason, right? They reduced the salary by 5%, the cap hit, I should say, by 5%. And then a lot of people thought it was advantageous to get a new deal, and then you could restructure the salary and lower that $60 million cap hit before free agency started. Heck, we're already past free agency. We're already past the draft. So I don't think Dak is getting a new deal this offseason. And quite frankly, if I'm Dak, and I've said this before, I would leave. You can guarantee yourself free agency this year because you have a no tag clause. So I would play out this season. If you play well, they'll want to keep you. But if you don't want to put up with the drama again with the Dallas Cowboys, then you get out. And then you leave. And I think that's the right decision by Dak Prescott. When you get to Tua and Jared Goff, the Dolphins with this regime, with Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel, they have doubled and tripled down in terms of what they've said about Tua. But they have not financially rewarded him yet. And if they wanted to, I don't think this is a good idea, but you could do it. With him playing in his fifth-year option year, you have the authority and the ability to franchise tag him for up to 2 years. I would not give the deal to Tua right now, because I don't think we've seen enough sustained success from Tua. I think we are in love with the idea of Tua compared to what the reality of Tua has been. And for Tua Tagovailoa, he was supposed to be the guy when he was at Alabama, like the next big-time prospect at the quarterback position. Unfortunate injuries, ankle, hip, and he fell a little bit in the draft. Now, he was still the second quarterback off the board. Burrow went one. Tua then was the second quarterback off the board at five. And Justin Herbert was six. So when you say he fell, it wasn't like he fell like Will Levis did. From being a top five pick, people thought, which I didn't think, to then being outside of the first 32 picks and being a second round pick. And he didn't fall like Aaron Rodgers, who could have been the first overall pick. It ended up being Alex Smith. And then Rodgers goes 20-something overall. So there's different levels of falling. But Tua did fall from what we thought he was supposed to be. And in the NFL, all last year was about staying healthy, staying healthy, staying healthy. He stayed healthy. But just because you have one good year, that was good. Statistically top five. But when you watch him, they beat up on a lot of bad teams. And when he got into big games, he did not play well. Against Kansas City twice, against Buffalo at the end of the season, Tua did not play well. So I'm not giving Tua Tagovailoa one of these $50 million a year contracts. $53, $54, $55 million, the going rate for what good quarterbacks that get paid great quarterback money. I'm not giving him that deal right now. I want to see Tua playing back-to-back seasons of being a good quarterback. And I'm fair. Tua, you go be good once again, and you do this for back-to-back seasons, even though we haven't seen that greatness in a long time, then I understand what the market is. I understand what's going to happen. They're going to give him one of those deals. But to give him that deal now, I think it could be one of those scenarios that we've seen where in a few years from now, if you give him the deal this offseason, the Dolphins are like, we regret that. And then you have one of these enormous record-breaking cap hits, which teams are now more inclined to eat, and you eat them, but it's not something that tastes all that good. And then you get to Jared Goff. Jared Goff is one of the more disrespected good quarterbacks we've seen. Now, let's be honest here. He was supposed to be great. He was a number one overall pick, and he has not played consistently at a level that you expect with a number one overall pick. When I hear number one overall pick, I think Hall of Famer, without a doubt, franchise quarterback, top five quarterback in the league. Jared Goff won't be Hall of Famer. Jared Goff isn't the face of a franchise, And Jared Goff isn't someone that is viewed as a top five great quarterback in the league. But you put Jared Goff in the right situation, you could win with Jared Goff. Rams had a good roster. Jared Goff, with the Rams, got to a Super Bowl. Unfortunately for Jared Goff, in the Super Bowl, your defense played well enough to win. You were held to 3 points. And once that happened, Sean McVay realized the moment, and Sean McVay said, we could get to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff, but if we're going to put our team in the best position to win a Super Bowl, it's better if we go get someone else. That was Matthew Stafford. They won a Super Bowl. Now, Goff goes to Detroit as an afterthought, right? It was a throw-in in the deal because the Rams are getting Stafford. Goff goes to Detroit, basically attached with an extra first-round pick. So Detroit gets the two first-round picks for Matthew Stafford. No one ever thought Goff was going to get an extension in Detroit. Goff was viewed as a placeholder for an eventual franchise quarterback. He just was. But Goff redefined his career and exceeded expectations. Where now, think about where you are. Like, if Jared Goff is the quarterback in Green Bay, probably not the standard. Probably not accepted. Because in Green Bay, we've seen back-to-back quarterbacks, you know, Love just is year one as a starter. But you saw excellence from Favre, Super Bowl, Hall of Fame. Excellence from Rodgers, Super Bowl, Hall of Fame. Jared Goff hasn't won a Super Bowl yet and won't be a Hall of Fame quarterback. So if Jared Goff is in Green Bay, I think it's a more active conversation as to should the Packers give him an extension. But since he's in Detroit, and I know Detroit and Matthew Stafford, but there was never a time in Detroit where we looked at the Lions with Matthew Stafford and said, ah, that's a Super Bowl contender. You enter this season with the Lions as the Lions being a bona fide Super Bowl contender. In the NFC, the three legitimate Super Bowl contenders that you feel most confident in are with the 49ers, the Eagles, and the Lions. Those are the three top Super Bowl contenders in the NFC. It's not Manny Rodriguez's Giants, I'll tell you that. Manny's just catching strays today. That's what happens when you dress up in a suit to a radio station. That's just the reality of the situation. But
I'm a normal person on the streets, but over here I get bullied, but I digress.
You're not getting bullied. Oh, stop it. We've all done that where we've worn suits to work and people go job interview or funeral. That's what it is when you're in radio. It's just the reality of the situation. And also, when did this become a thing? That you're applying for a position. Is this Hickey's fault? Because Hickey wore that tuxedo when the morning show had a producer opening. So is Hickey now like one of the locker room leaders? That some of the, like, Manny, you are, how many years have you been here? You've been here for a good time now.
About 2 years now.
2 years, but considered, right, younger on the roster. So do like people now look up to Ryan Hickey?
No.
I think so. I think he did because you're not wearing that suit if Hickey doesn't wear a tuxedo the last time the job interview did go down.
I didn't even know Hickey.
Oh, that's such a lie. You follow it. You knew Hickey wore a tuxedo for the Maggie and Perloff position. Morning show producer.
I'm
lying. Pinocchio, I see your nose is going to hit the microphone for crying out loud in a second. Of course you did. You knew that. Is this a Hickey issue, Stu?
I don't know. I've worn a suit before for interviews here, so I don't think that's like a trend.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
Did you show up in a polo when you interviewed?
I didn't get interviewed.
Oh, wow.
I didn't get interviewed.
Oh, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
I met at the Super Bowl with Eric Spitz. He goes, we have a weekend overnight opening. He goes, we think you'd be a good fit. Come do a few shows. We'll let you know if you get the job. I got a phone call about 3 weeks later saying, okay, you're going to be the weekend overnight host. That's about it. When I did have to interview for a radio job, though, my first job out of college, I wore slacks. Sorry, not slacks, like khaki pants and a polo. I don't know. Suits in a radio interview. In the real world, that seems like that's what happens. In the radio world, that doesn't seem how it goes down. But anyway, I digress. Getting back to Jared Goff real quickly. When you were the quarterback of the Lions, you have Super Bowl expectations. I think you get the key to the city. I do. And we talk about like what ifs all the time. Imagine they don't get the deal done with Jared Goff. And then, yes, they could franchise tag him. I get him in that. But like, let's say he gets annoyed and he wants out of the organization. And then the Lions never restore what they're doing right now. What if they would have paid him? I don't think the Lions are in a position where they could afford to play the what-if game. So here's what I think is going to happen. By the start of the season, I believe Jared Goff will get an extension. Two, I think, has a chance, but I think the Dolphins will ultimately wait and make him play out this year. Dak, there's no chance he gets an extension. This is going to be a standoff at the end of the season, and we're going to see if Dak Prescott, who I think the ball is in his court, wants to stay with the Dallas Cowboys. Because Jerry's made things uncomfortable before with Dak Prescott, and Dak has won in the past financially. So I don't think Jerry's annoyed with making it uncomfortable again. I think he actually embraces it because it creates drama and it creates talking points. But I believe it's more of a decision, does Dak want the extension? And that will be decided at the end of the season because he has the power to go to free agency. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll come on back. Luka Doncic, why the first half is more important than the second half for him coming up this evening. I'll tell you why on the other side. Update time. Here he is. Oh, he took the coat off. He took the sports coat off. Now you're getting a little loose here. You're unbuttoning a little bit.
It's hot, man. It's hot. Suddenly it's not.
Why didn't you just break? You should have brought a change of clothes.
Yeah, I was running late this morning. Stop. Leave me alone.
What do you mean you were running late?
I was.
Too much partying after the next one last night?
I couldn't. I was too excited to fall. You know the Kelly Kapoor meme?
Oh, yeah.
I'm too excited to sleep. I was up until about, you know, I don't know, 12:45, just scrolling Nick's Twitter.
Okay. What time did you have to get into?
Get in? I mean, I got in at 10 in the morning.
And how long's the commute?
For me, it's about 40 minutes, 50 minutes.
And when was your first on-air shift today?
It was at noon.
Noon?
1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. Check that. 1:30.
And oh, 1:30, okay. 1:30. What time was the interview then?
10:30 in the morning.
Okay, so you still got 30 minutes to spare. But yeah. you're running late. You said you're running late.
Yeah, I had to catch the train.
Okay.
It's not a good sign when you're trying to
no.
Become a producer that you're running late.
But he was on. He was early.
But I was still early to
the
building.
He was way
early. I was late getting out of my house, but I still got here.
He was paranoid in his own mind.
I
do that. I do that all the time. When I have to show up to something, you were paranoid.
Yeah, I'm always paranoid. That's
worse. We need a producer who's going to be.
Are you not paranoid?
No.
Oh, come on. You're not. You don't worry at all.
I mean, not about producing the show. No, I'm cool, calm, collected. My experience has led me down a path where, you know, panic is not settled.
You're a warrior.
Huh?
You're a warrior.
Not about the show, but maybe about life.
Well, that's not a good sign, then.
No, I don't need to worry about the show because I got a lot of
Do we want a producer who's always worried about life on this radio station?
I'm okay if the producer worries. I want my producer to worry. That means they care. That's not like a negative thing to you, Samter. That means that you care. But how long does it... You just had too much on your plate because, like, I don't know, getting an extra pair of clothes doesn't take that much time off your path.
Listen, my living situation right now isn't optimal, so I had to walk around like a church mouse at my house.
Gotcha. So you were tiptoeing.
A little bit.
Okay.
And that slowed things down.
You know
what?
I'll cut you some slack. Give him the job.
Thank you.
If it's up to me, hire him. It's not up to me, though.
Yeah.
I have no say in this job.
Don't you? Dylan or Zach doesn't have any
Zero.
Any say?
They may say, hey, you know, who are some people you may recommend if you had a producer opening? But I don't think this is not my show. That's not my
resolve. Zillion or Zach is a zero.
I am not putting my nose into this situation. I'm just not. I'm not going to put my hands in this situation. I'm going to let the powers that be determine this hire, and I wish the best to you. I wish the best to everyone applying. I'm going to be a politician, Zach, today.
Good guy, Gallup.
I want everyone to get the job. You know, Pat Boyle was sitting here. If Carlos Ortiz was sitting here, if Chris Hess, whoever was sitting here, yeah, I'd want you to get the job. But I think you're very good at what you do.
I appreciate it.
I will say that.
Thanks.
I think you're hardworking, and I think you're very diverse in terms of you try to do a bunch of different things. You know,
I do.
Hosting updates and producing as well. And there's some people right? You give them a few on-air shifts, and they start feeling themselves. And they're like, oh, I don't have to do the behind-the-scenes things. That's not Manny Rodriguez.
No, I still do the behind-the-scenes things.
Hey, do it a lot.
Yeah.
All righty.
All righty.
We'll take a timeout.
Sure.
You know, good endorsement right there from Manny Rodriguez. And the bosses are listening. Just say so myself. Just forget the part where he's like, oh, he's running late. Talk about Luka Doncic next. Here's Manny. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Bobby Marks. He said, including the next coach in Phoenix, Kevin Durant since 2019-2020 is 5 head coaches. Devin Booker since 2015 to 2016, 7 head coaches. Bradley Beal since 2012 to 2013, 5 head coaches. It's a lot of change. That's a lot of craziness. Pete DeBoer, the coach of the Stars, he had a pretty good line. Let me just pull it up here. It just triggered a thought when I was going through all those coaches. A buddy of mine sent this today. This is from Pierre LeBrun, who covers hockey for a long time. Hold on. For some reason, that's not going to – can we copy that? Boom. Let's just see. Let's paste it in here. I know this does not make for the greatest radio in the world, but it's a funny quote once we get it for you. Okay, here we go. I asked Pete DeBoer, this is Pierre LeBrun, about having 19 head coaching changes in the NHL since the end of last season. Quote, it's insanity. We coach in an age where everyone talks about the modern athlete building relationships in order to coach them. How do you do that with that kind of turnover? It's like going on a date and getting married and divorced before the appetizers show up. I don't get it, but that's the world we live in. You think anyone's ever got divorced at their wedding before the appetizers show up? I'm sure there is. Like, you cheated on me. I found out about that. Oh, that's it. I'm done. You ever see those like viral videos? They're like pranks. Where it's, I don't think they're actually like real video. I think it's designed as a prank where someone shows up to the wedding and they found out that they got cheated on and then they reveal it while reading their vows. I've seen those on like TikTok. I don't think those are actually genuine videos, but I'm sure it's happened somewhere before. So I always get a kick out of those. It's a good line there by Pete DeBoer. Let's hear from Evan Turner. He was on the Point Forward podcast, which is his own podcast with Andre Iguodala. He rips Paul George. Listen up.
PG would be really good with the Pacers. Pacers would be scary.
But I think their kryptonite would always be what it is. Either Halliburton would have to mature into like the go-to game ender, or PG is just going to... A Halliburton matchup might be cakewalk to certain people, G. You know what I mean? Like coming down the stretch. Like that's not in no disrespectful sense, but then I'm just saying because that's the only best option because PG has a history of not showing up, which is an understatement. Just the other day, I never met a human that will let a media rumor drive his like energy your personality. Like somebody's like, I heard he going to Philly. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to Philly, G. You know how soft that team gonna be if him and Embiid go together? It'd probably be the most skilled duo ever since Kobe and Shaq. Embiid to be hurt and PG gonna be Paul though.
Wow. That's some damaging stuff from Evan Turner, who had a disappointing NBA career. But that's kind of crazy. But it, like, I'm not saying he's wrong. And Paul George can be sensitive, obviously, at times. But that's a big part of it. Like, a lot of people want to be a star. But can you handle what comes with being a star? And that's a lot of the media conversation, a lot of the rumors as well. Here is, let me play you one more before I get to my Luka Doncic point. This is Ian Rappaport, NFL Network. Future of Brandon Ayuk with the 49ers, since this has been a topic.
The Pearsall pick really made everyone scratch their heads and go, maybe they really are trading Brandon Ayuk. It doesn't seem like that is in the cards, at least right now. My understanding on the situation is that the 49ers are moving forward with Brandon Ayuk on their roster. Now, how much will he make next year? That's really the big question. They have been in contract negotiations, trying to get him to a long-term deal, trying to get to a point where he will accept their offer. And the fact that the receiver market for the really, really good receivers has been more defined over the last month or so helps. You figure that Brandon Ayuk will be somewhere in there. Exactly where remains to be seen. But again, my understanding is the focus is on bringing him back next season. They view him as a key part of their offense.
I think the longer this plays out, you keep seeing more and more of the 49ers basically saying they prefer to keep Brandon Ayuk over Deebo Samuel. And then I think it's more likely at this stage that Debo's the one that gets traded than Ayuk. Maybe both are on the roster this season, but next offseason, you're going to have to make that decision to either pay Ayuk and keep him or trade him, and then you get rid of Debo Samuel. You're going to have to make that decision. And for Brandon Ayuk, it's do you want to be it's weird to say a good soldier here because you should get paid in the NFL, and I don't fault anyone for asking for money in the NFL because it's a lethal sport. But for Brandon Ayuk, will you go through this season where you're on the fifth year of that deal? Because he was first round pick, right? I think this is a fifth year option. Yeah, so this is a fifth year option. So you're in your fifth year option. You get tagged after this. All right, they go down that road if they want to. But can you maybe bump up that salary and put some incentives on it this year, as we've seen in the past? So we'll see what ends up happening. But I think they want to keep Ayuk, and they'd be more willing to part ways with Debo a year from now. Okay, let me make the final point of the day. Tonight in the NBA, in game number one, you saw that sprained knee act up for Luka Doncic. Usually, a lot of us, let's just be honest with the NBA, you could parachute in for the final 5 minutes and be told everything about the NBA. Seems like whenever these games are blowouts, they usually come down to the final 5 minutes, unless the Phoenix Suns are involved in them. If they get blown out early, the Suns are usually toast. They're burnt. But with OKC and Dallas, I think the first 24 minutes are enormous tonight, because you will see how much life Luka Doncic has in his legs. And if he has life in the first 24 minutes, okay, we have a series. But if he's hobbling around, if he looks slow, if he looks sluggish, and he looks lethargic because of the knee sprain, and you see that early, that's a bad, 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 bad sign in game two of this series. Because in game one, it looked really, really, really bad. If this continues into game two, especially in the first half, then OKC is going to be licking their chops. And they're going to be sitting there. And they're going to be saying, okay, this series may be over a lot sooner than what we thought because Luka Doncic isn't healthy. The appeal of the Mavericks is the 1-2 punch, Luka and Kyrie. But you need Luka healthy. Luka's not healthy right now, but how much can you sustain it? And how much can you not only fight through the pain, but play through the pain and still play at an elite level? We did not see that in game one. You have to see it early tonight in game two. All righty, that concludes the Zach Gelb Show on a Thursday on the Infinity Sports Network. Big thanks to each and every one of you for hanging out with us. Big thank you to my producer extraordinaire, Michael Santer, and also Stuart Kovacs. And we will be back mañana, everybody, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Tonight, you got two games in the NBA, Cavs and Celtics. I think the Celtics will win this series at most in five games. And you have Mavericks and the Thunder, as we talked about. And as we turn our attention to the ice, my Rangers look to take a 3-0 series lead. You have a goaltending change in Carolina. And you have the Avalanche and the Stars, which was an awesome game one. Stars go up 3-0, and the Avalanche score four unanswered goals to win 4-3 in overtime. We'll see what game two has in store. Avalanche and Stars, Colorado with the 1-0 series lead. We'll talk mañana on a Friday, everybody. Have a good night. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Are you a fan of mystery and adventure? Introducing June's Journey, the captivating free-to-play mobile game that will ignite your inner detective. Play as June Parker in a thrilling murder mystery adventure as you search for hidden objects to uncover the truth behind her sister's death. Step into the glamorous world of the Roaring Twenties with stunningly illustrated scenes and over 1,000 mysteries to unravel. With new chapters added weekly, you'll never run out of clues to chase and suspects to interrogate. Plus, you can build your own island escape with beautiful gardens and buildings, and even join a detective club to collaborate with other players. Experience the thrill of being a detective and unravel the mystery in June's Journey. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.